Amazing God, startle us this day. Like the person celebrating his birthday in that video, startle us this day with the presence of your Spirit. Your Spirit that comes to us as a glorious inner strength. Amen. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that God has an incredible, incredible sense of humor. There I was Friday. I had Friday. Have you ever had these days that you have planned to the minute? I had Friday figured out. I had it planned to the minute. I knew what I needed to do. I had to make a couple pastoral visits, and I had to write this darn sermon on some crazy, stupid subject on you are not in control. And then I was going to have enough time to go across the street and watch my son play a playoff baseball game. I had it all figured out. I could do all of those things. And I figured out how I would do all of those things. And the weather had completely different plans than I had. The field across the street became unplayable because of all of the rain. And then that very morning, somebody came up with a wise idea. Rather than play it across the street, let's go to Portland. Portland? You know, what is that saying that if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans? Somebody said, define stress. I love this. Define stress. Stress is when you have a plan, and your plan runs smack dab in the face of reality. Have you noticed that reality could care less whether you have a plan or not? There are so many things we can't control. Now, it's okay to have a plan. Obviously, it's okay to desire certain outcomes. I think the problem we have and the challenges we face is when we become attached to those outcomes. When we hold on to those outcomes, when we refuse to let go of those outcomes, because obviously we know the right outcome. Not only for ourselves, but for everybody else as well. We know the right path. So our stress comes when we just hold on and refuse to let go, regardless of all of the things that might be happening around us. We live under this illusion that we are in control. And then everything changes in the blink of an eye. I think of just this past week. In the past week, in my conversations with many of you, I learned of an unexpected death. I learned of a disappointed medical test result. I learned of a house sale that didn't go through. A job loss. A relationship breakdown. I learned of that sense of helplessness you get when you can't control as you watch someone you love suffer. I talked with a couple of you about those questions that have absolutely no answer. That's all this week. Just this week. Now, we live under the illusion that we are in control. And we plan, and we prepare, and we do everything we possibly can that life is what we think it should be, and then life happens. There's actually a bumper sticker with a different word than life happens, but I'll let you fill that blank in. I want my job, come tomorrow. But then life happens. And you notice when life happens, more often than not, we don't have a whole lot of control over what happens. What we control is maybe our attitude, our spirit, the choices we bring to life. So today I'm continuing the series on those hard spiritual truths that lead to peace and freedom. I've been exploring four truths with you that in many ways run counter to the so-called wisdom of our culture around us. these truths that lead to peace, freedom, a deeper faith, wisdom. Life is hard. Life is terminal. Life is not about you. And today, you are not in control. You uncomfortable yet? You are not in control. We may think we are. We may pretend that we are. We may try hard to be in control. But you are not in control. You know, Sister Joan Chittister says that we all have been trained to accept the position of general manager of the universe. You know, where we organize life and we plan things and we make things happen. And that's how our culture is built. And that's not necessarily bad. But it doesn't transfer to our spiritual life. In our spiritual life, it's heresy. It actually doesn't work. You can't manage, maneuver, manipulate spiritual energy. Did you see the balloons? You can't manufacture peace, freedom, joy. Let me run that by you again, because most of us refuse to believe this. You can't manufacture peace, freedom, joy. Sister Joan says, it's all about letting go. She says, it's all about getting yourself out of the way. She uses Philippians 2, where Paul says, it's about making yourself not bigger on the arena of life, but smaller. Emptying yourself so that there's room for the presence and movement of God's Spirit. So that there's room. It's funny. She says, peace. Peace comes when you let go. In fact, she said, all healthy spirituality is about letting go. Surrendering. Think about your own approach to your faith. Think about your own path to God. For many of us, wait a minute. I thought it was about something I had to do. I thought it was about something I had to learn. I thought it was about something I had to reach. Letting go. Surrender. She says it's all about stopping and being preoccupied and thinking that we can possibly somehow manage and muddle and manufacture and create life the way we think it should be. Letting go. Well, as a reformed control freak, some of you may argue on the reformed part. How do you do that? Why is it so hard to try to stop trying to fix and manage and control life? Well, there are two things about controlling things that I am sure about. One of the ways I think we try to control things because of what we think will happen if we don't. So in other words, at the root of control is fear. But think about how big your ego is to accept that posture. That something, it's your job as the general manager of the universe to prevent all of those things from happening. And the second reason I think we control things is because we get attached to specific outcomes. Outcomes for ourselves, outcomes for other people, Because who knows best? I know best. I mean, I know what's best for you. Sometimes I just wonder, it just drives me crazy. I think, why is it that people don't accept the good ideas that I have for their lives? I mean, they're good ideas. So what happens then is I take my perfectly good energy and I spend that energy preparing and planning and preventing all of the things that I can't really prepare for, plan, and prevent. And I get what's called a monkey mind. And a monkey mind is where you have one anxious thought that jumps from one thought to another thought to another thought to another thought. I'm reliving something that happened yesterday. I'm worrying about something that might happen tomorrow. And all the time, I have little or no awareness of this present moment. All that jumping around, there's no room for me to be aware of the movement and presence of God's Spirit right here, right now. So Sister Joan says, get yourself out of the way. Empty yourself so that there might be room for the movement of God's Spirit. Take a breath, a deep breath. You know, the word for breath and spirit in Hebrew is essentially the same word, ruha. So contemplate this incredible mystery for me for just a second. The idea that God's presence is closer than our own breath. God's Spirit is closer to us than our own breath. As I mentioned, Walter Brueggemann said, Pentecost is many, many things. And there's many, many ways you can go on Pentecost. One of the things Pentecost is about is reminding us of God's promise that God hasn't abandoned us. Reminding us that God's Spirit is closer than your own breath. Take a breath again. You know, I know when I'm trying to control things, when I'm in that mode, that control mode, it's almost like I hold my breath. It's that balloon, you know, that just leaving a little bit of air out, that annoying sound. You know, I get annoying when I'm trying to control things as my breath is tight and shallow. Then when I breathe deeply, let go, surrender, the energy changes. Paul, I love what Paul says. The presence of God's Spirit gives you a glorious inner strength. God's Spirit within you. Not pushing you around, Paul says. Gently, deeply moving within you. So maybe Pentecost is just simply, here's the message for Pentecost. Get yourself out of the way. You don't have to push a river for it to flow. I'll let that one sink in for a second. You know, I saw a bumper sticker. I love this. I saw a bumper sticker. It said, I have resigned from being the general manager of the universe. I've noticed things are running a lot more smoothly since then. You know, it's that sense of, do we still trust in the presence of God's Spirit in such a way that we might be open to different possibilities. Now, surrender, letting go, is not hopelessness, it's not inaction, it's not resignation. It's actually action from a different energy, a surrendered energy, a God energy. A spirit energy. Notice what it said in Paul again. Paul says, God's Spirit working within you. God's Spirit working within you, you're able to accomplish abundantly more than your wildest dreams. Spirit energy accomplishes far more than control energy. I mean, I think to me, when I get in control mode, the vision I have for myself is I'm in this canoe. You know, I'm in this canoe and I got my oars and I'm paddling as hard as I can upstream against current. You know, working as hard as I possibly can, fighting against the current, fighting against life, fighting against God and who God is and who I think God is and what God is and what I think God should be, fighting against the universe. Wow, is it exhausting? And the phrase I use when I shift that energy, let go of the oars. It's not up to you. Let go of the oars. And when I let go of the oars, all of a sudden the boat shifts direction. And rather than going against the current, moves with the current. You know, Emily Kingsley just has beautiful insight into living in the illusion of being in control versus that power and energy that comes from surrender. She has a child who was born with Down syndrome. And she writes, as only a parent such as she could write. But I think she speaks to all of us who live under the illusion of being in control. She writes this way. She says, preparing to have a child is like planning the most fabulous vacation ever. Going to Italy. You buy all of the guidebooks. You study, you research, you figure out exactly what you're going to do, where you're going to visit, all of the places, Michelangelo's David, the Colosseum, the gondolas in Venice. You do all of this planning and preparing, and you're excited beyond belief. And all of that planning and preparing leads you to the day. Your bags are packed. You're ready. And the plane lands hours later, and the flight attendant says, "Welcome to Holland. 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 I didn't sign up going to Holland. My flight says I'm supposed to go to Italy. I don't want to go to Holland. I am not prepared to go to Holland. I didn't plan to go to Holland." There's been an unexpected, unwelcome, undesired change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you have to stay. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I don't want to be in Holland. I spent all of this time and energy planning to be in Italy. I know about Italy. I know nothing about Holland. I don't even like Holland. You're angry. You're lost. You're sad. And every ounce of your being is fighting this. She says, until you take a deep breath and you stop fighting and you stop complaining and you stop wishing you were somewhere else and you accept where you are. And she said, it's then you notice you're stronger than you realized. And all of a sudden you notice Holland has tulips, windmills, Rembrandt. She says you have all of these friends who are coming and going to Italy telling you how wonderful Italy is. And it hurts. But if you keep fighting reality, and if you keep mourning the fact that you did all of this planning and all of this preparing, and you still didn't get to go to Italy, you will never, ever see and experience the beauty that Holland has to offer. Where are you in control mode? Where is that squeezing out the presence, the movement of the Spirit that might open you to other possibilities? Just clench your fist for a second, as tight as you can. And just think for a second how much energy it takes to try to control life the way you think it should be. And now take a deep breath. Release your grasp. Open your hands. Let go. Let go of the oars. Make room. Make room for the presence of that Spirit that moves within us as a glorious inner strength. Oliver Wendell Holmes says, what lies before us, what lies behind us, are tiny, tiny, compared to the mystery that lies within us. Thanks be to God.